All right, Rick, we are back. Man, that was it's been a long time since we recorded.
Back in business. This is the longest we've gone taking a break. So,
yes,
needed, but we apologize. And it's not going to happen again.
I was out of town 1 week. You were out of town 1 week.
Yep.
So, spring breaks are done, and let's get busy. It's quarterfinal season.
And I think we didn't even take this kind of break around Christmas, so it just shows you what our priorities are. I think spring break over the rest of the holidays in the calendar.
I mean, it's really the fact that our spring breaks didn't line up. That was the only glitch. Otherwise,
correct,
our dedication to this podcast for Masters Athletes is at 100%. So, but we do.
Holidays
know, I know what it's. I know what it's like when my favorite podcast is not published. I feel lost. I don't know what to listen to.
Yep.
So we're excited to be back, and we'll have lots of consistency going forward. We've got quarterfinals, then 2 weeks, then semifinals, then lots of talk as we get closer to the games and summer. We'll have lots of guests because that's what we do. This episode is powered by Thirdsy, your go-to for game-changing sleep recovery. Imagine hitting your workouts harder and waking up feeling unstoppable. That's what Thirdsy's PM Recovery Collagen does for me. It's like pre-workout, but for your sleep, fueling your body's active recovery processes without any melatonin or sedatives. Just one scoop before bed supports deeper, more restorative sleep so you can crush your fitness goals. Ready to experience the best rest and recovery? Visit Thirdsy.com and transform your nights into recovery power hours. Thirdsy, because sleep is the ultimate recovery tool. That's Thirdzy.com. Save 20% with code JASONZZZ. Let's get into the show. Tell us, just catch us up on what you've been up to the last, if you want to share. I think you
sure
had a pretty cool experience.
Went over to Italy last week because my middle child, our daughter, is studying over there in Florence. And so lined it up with the young one's spring break here and went over to Italy. And it was not an exercise fitness focused week, but you have weeks like that. And I trained very hard finishing the Open leading up to the day, right the day before I left, because I knew that it was going to be a lot of walking, a tiny bit of running, a lot of push-ups, air squats, and plank holds. And that was it, because the hotels did not have gyms and there were too many tourists on the narrow streets of the few towns that we were at to even move in a straight line. It was more like dodging traffic and try not to get hit by scooters and motorbikes. But great time, great experience, fantastic food, and like real food. Like I ate whatever we needed to and don't feel too bad coming back. However, I'll get your take what you've been up to, but we know how quickly quarterfinals are approaching, and thank goodness it's I'm gonna do my best and we'll just see where it lands. I'm not scaring anybody on the leaderboard, but what I want to do is make it to the next round and keep putting the pedal down as we advance in the season. So
the season is moving quickly, and I over the past couple of weeks, I was at, I competed at Beach Brawl 2 weekends ago and then continued in Pensacola for a spring break. So that was my spring break versus your spring break. And I really enjoyed competing on a team. It was my first time competing on a team since, I don't know, 2018 or something. Maybe I did a team competition with a friend, like a Halloween competition, where it had some fitness involved, and it was really fun. But this was,
yours was
such a
level.
Fun experience.
Yeah, I was going to say higher level.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't higher legends level or something like that, but it was higher level as a team with two other guys that knew what they were doing. I watched a lot of your live streams.
We had a blast, and it was probably one of the funnest competitions I've done because of that team camaraderie that we had. It was like, you know, we're cheering each other on, pushing each other. And now at the same time, there was part of me, because we did do a max lift in this competition. One of us did a max snatch. Another one did a max clean and jerk. Another one did a max thruster. I wanted to stay well within the safe range on all of that, knowing that we're in the qualifier season. So I think, you know, I actually tied my PR snatch. I felt great. You know, maybe it was because it was warm out. There's all that adrenaline. I could have thrown on some more weight to try to do something really fun on the snatch. But, you know, it's qualifier season, and I don't need to do anything crazy that would potentially jeopardize quarterfinals or semifinals. Right now, it's be as fit as I am, stay as fit as I can be, stay as injury-free as possible at the same time. Because, you know, there's a couple of important weekends coming, and there's not a lot of wiggle room when with injury, you know, when you have quarterfinals and semifinals. So
when something happens and you need 4 weeks to let something heal or something, you don't have... We have no 4 week windows. I think the largest window was between open and quarters.
Yes.
And everything else is compressed. And for those lucky and fortunate and skilled individuals that do make the games, yes, you have a long window. So if you tweak something,
then we've got a gap.
Then you've got some time, and you can't go 100% either, but that's part of training. You know, our joint friend Renee has been telling me about beach brawl for quite a while. I've seen the video, started to follow him, and then, you know, she's a regular competitor there. And then you end up saying, oh, I'm going to compete on a team down there. And sure enough, you guys are flopping around in the sand with burpees. And I how was the weather, though? It was hard to. It was pretty good, wasn't it?
So our weather on Sunday was spectacular.
Right. Okay.
Wednesday, it was very windy. And that was elite teams. Sunday was masters and intermediate teams. We had gorgeous weather. I burned everything. My face was peeling off for a few days. It was cloudy, but it was beautiful, and I got totally burnt. And then we actually had 2 days of bad weather, one glorious day on the beach where we spent about 8 hours on the beach with the kids and got all the sun possible. It was amazing.
That's because you had two bad weather days. You got to make up for it all the last day.
Yeah, we did. We did it all on one.
But the competition was
run really smoothly. And yeah, we did burpees in the sand. That was my least favorite part, although it was very, very fun to experience a sand event. It's really fun. But sand is everywhere, man. The shoes I wore, because I'm not a guy that's going to do burpees in the sand barefoot. Okay, there's some people that are, but I don't do anything barefoot. So I don't want my baby feet to get injured in the sand. It would be just like me to break a toe on a burpee. So I wore shoes. There was sand on those shoes.
That was a log.
It was a log.
Jumping over. Yeah. You don't need to clip
burpees
that
over
with a toe. No. And not now.
And honestly, like if you clip it with a toe, I mean, you're literally not jumping 2 inches off the ground. It's just silly. But I'm the guy that's going to break my toe, and I don't want to do it. So.
No. Remember. Wait a minute.
You are that guy. Yes, you are.
Yes, I have.
Well, we've got some CrossFit news that we... I mean, not a ton of it has been going on in the CrossFit space, but we do know a couple of things, or at least we've been we've been able to understand a few things. I think one of the things that came up in news for Masters athletes was a post that I saw that then I checked out, and it looks like it's confirmed that when you sign up for the quarterfinals as a Masters athlete, you can sign up as individual or you can sign up as a Masters. A lot of us, I know that I qualified for both, but you go and sign up as a Masters athlete. And if you qualified for both, on the next page after your Masters registration, it says that go ahead and would you like to register for the Indy quarterfinal for free? And if you click that as a Masters athlete, 50% of the revenue of your registration fee goes towards the bucket that pays for the individual CrossFit games, and 50% that goes to the Masters bucket budget for the CrossFit games. And, you know, I went ahead and posted about that on Instagram, and there were just so many people that didn't know that because it wasn't clear. It'd be nice if CrossFit just said, hey, you know, sign up for Indy. Oh, and by the way, this is going to take half the registration and send it over in that direction. Yeah. And again, we're fully on board with the individual games. It's fine, but there's plenty of individual athletes that can help fund that. For quarterfinals, Masters athletes, what we know is that the money that we pay to register for quarterfinals goes towards the budget for the Masters CrossFit Games. And unless you think you're going to make it to the individual semifinals, there is no reason to check that button and send some of the money in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, what were your thoughts on that when you saw that?
Well, it was obviously a priority. I got back late Sunday night, and I'm still working on my taxes, and I've got a million things to catch up on work. Got everything to do around the house, and what's the first thing I do is I register for quarterfinals. But I had seen that Heck post, yeah. So you know, especially this year, as we know how dependent the community is going to be with the budget broken out first time, you know, our own event in Birmingham, I think it's very important, and it would have been helpful to catch a little bit more because, you know, as a 50 plus year old athlete, I don't need, it's great. You do one workout and you get put on two leaderboards, but I don't need to be reminded right. I'm going to be in 20,000th place. Right. I don't care. Right. I'm concerned with what I'm going to be doing in the 50 to 54 category next week. That's all that bothers me.
Yes.
You know, it bothered me that it wasn't super clear. So registered, skip that screen, and motivated and ready to roll.
Done.
Yep.
So Masters athletes, register, get it done. I think we have until just before the scores are due in that first window, I believe. Is that correct?
I think so. It's similar to the Open. Like you can register for the Open up until week one is done on that Monday. Yep. For us, the first submission window is Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday.
And to be clear, quarterfinals, our workouts get released a week from tomorrow. We're recording this Tuesday. We'll have this published before midnight tonight. When people are listening, it'll probably be Wednesday. So in 1 week, quarterfinals will be released.
Right.
You might as well register now. Just get that out of the way. So it's one of the things off the checkbox. After we talk about anything else that we know in the news, we're going to talk about all the other things you should do to prepare for quarterfinals to be ready before next week. But definitely get registered. Go out there, get it done. If you're on the fence, just know that when you register for quarterfinals, you are throwing your hat in the ring. You're putting your money on the table in support of the Masters community and the Masters CrossFit Games, and you get to log a score.
Like,
get it on there. See where you rank against all the Masters athletes on the planet this year. And I've registered for everything available since 2013, Rick. Everything I've qualified for, I've registered for. And CrossFit has all of that data on the website. You could see how I placed in the AGOQ in 2016. It's fun data to have. It's really fun to go back and look at those numbers. So do it, make it official, and pause this podcast right now, just in case. If you're on a plane, just go do it.
Go find the email that was sent to you from CrossFit. Congratulations, you advanced. It's a great email to receive. I know it was a little different this year because it was the top 25%. But still, you made it through healthy. You're ready to compete, whether you're going to use it as a training tool for the following year, or whether you're someone who's in a position as a male or a female that you think you're going to be able to advance to semis. You know, it's important. So don't forget to register. And then also don't forget to put your scores in, because I know that happens from time to time, too.
I picked up another discrepancy between the registrations last year and this year, Rick, or in the email. I think it was the email. Not sure if it was email or registration, but it said this year that individuals for quarterfinals will be required to submit a video. Age group athletes there may be a request for age group athletes to submit a video.
Correct.
And that is a slight different wording this year than last year. Tell us about that. You are on it. You seem eager. Well, tell me more. That's all I know.
Because you just jogged my memory. Of course, I don't have the rules up in front of me, but in the rule book, when that was released, I believe it said, if you are somewhere, remember they're taking 200 per age group per category, male, 200 females. If you're going to be in the top 600, you could be eligible to be asked for a video. So if you think you're going to be somewhere in that zone and they ask and you can't produce, you get a zero for that score. So we can verify it. We could put it in the show notes afterwards. Again, I'm not going to kill time rustling through papers, but I'm pretty sure there was a much wider band outside of your top 200 where they felt like if your score was, if they just wanted to see it, or they said, we're going to take workout number two from, I don't know, everybody. I don't know how they're going to do it. It would be really curious to ask somebody from HQ when we have a guest or two on after this is over with, how that, I always have lots of questions on how the whole judging video review process works. And we've heard it on some podcasts too, but again, this is a different year. Our numbers are completely different than the quarterfinals for teams in terms of numbers or individuals. So looking for that.
It's a lot of, there'd be a lot of video review, but I do remember years ago in age group qualifiers, I don't think we submitted a score, I mean, a video with our score like we have in the past couple of quarterfinals.
Nope.
It was an email that went out that said, you had to watch for it because they said, they would say something like, we would like you to submit your video for event number two. And it was an email you received, you'd click a link, you'd upload it into a Google form, and that would be the video review process. And I remember one year, like it went to my spam folder and I had to find it. Like it was, I was
panic,
it was nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Panic attack. So it could be something like that. There's lots of ways that they can collect that video. So what we do know is that we have to have those videos ready for them. And we'll talk about how to get ready for doing a video in a little bit here, but have that ready. And it'd be curious to see if, you know, what they're going to require of us, how many of us will actually get a video request.
And
I last, want every
not
video.
To, not to go down too far the last year's rabbit hole or 2 years ago, but with the smaller semifinals field of 30 per age group, cutting it down to 10, I believe they asked for the video upon score submission, but that didn't mean they were going to review it. Thanks to a couple of my clunkers last year, I know they didn't review because I didn't get that email check back that I know you got.
Oh, yeah.
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 They didn't review every single video. I think if you were, if it was a top score or you were in a qualifying position or close to, that triggered the, okay, let's go look. And they already had had them because they asked for them at, upon submission, upon score submission. This year probably reverts back to what you just described years past.
Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. I mean, I know that you are a fan of video review. I'm a fan of video review. You know, I think in a perfect world, it would be so it'd be so nice if they would potentially outsource that to the community. I know there are, you know, people behind a computer on a daily basis that would love to watch videos, that would love to review videos. If they did something like an open leaderboard and you have to submit your video, all the videos are live out there for everyone to see. And you can upvote the video or downvote the video, just the general public does. And maybe there's a certain amount of downvotes that trigger an official review of a video. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then you get the whole community involved. And you'd have some, you can have some people out there that would get really nasty, right? And just downvote everyone's videos.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how you get over that, but certain, maybe you only get five downvotes.
A certain podcaster would have material for years.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I'll tell you what, I want to put all my videos out there for quarterfinals, especially quarterfinals, because there's no secrets really there. I think it's fun to put them out there and let the world see, like, this is what the, this is what it looked like. This is how I did it. I want to work through the qualification process with full transparency. You know, here's what my reps look like. If they're good reps, they're great. If they're not, they're not. I know that there were some videos that showed up in the open that people submitted videos for, and there were some really gnarly reps. I've got a couple of friends that love looking at the videos, and they'll send me captions of the videos and be like, oh, dude, look at this guy. Look at this guy. And there really were some really bad reps out there. But I think it's just, it's much, much more fun to be transparent, to get clean reps. It's satisfying. You qualify. You just know. I know that when I submit a video, everything's fine. Everything's fine. You know, and I am very, very clear with my judge. If I have a no rep, you've got to call that. If that wall ball doesn't touch the target, call the no rep. If I don't stand up tall on a box jump, call that no rep. If I don't touch my hands on the pad on a GHD, call the no rep.
I need to hear it from you before it gets to video review because it's too late.
Oh my God.
At that point, you can't redo, because if I don't touch my hands to the GHD pad, I miss a rep, I go back and I do it again. That is not as penalizing as having a major penalty or a minor penalty assessed to you, I think, on after the fact.
And the the risk of having a bad behavior. Maybe you don't lock out your first push jerk, right? And then you don't lock out the second and the third, and someone doesn't say anything about your lockout, and now you have no good lockout reps on a push jerk. You have none because you were just working hard. You're in your zone. You're focusing, but you're not. But you're not locking. And if someone says, if someone walks by, I think about this at the Legends Championship on the dumbbell thrusters on the final event. The judge was like, "Hey, make sure you get low, because the head judge will come over here and call you on it." And I know that you could almost see every time the head judge was making a lap around, everyone's thrusters went a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just requires a judge to say, you know, "Hey, hit that lockout," and boom, now you're going to make it evident and clear.
You know, I could just think, I'm an old man, so that first overhead squat, you think you're going low enough, but maybe you're not. And this past fall at Masters Collective, we had that long chipper. You know, I don't know, I'm coming off a bar hang or toast to bar or something, and I pick up the bar and I go into an overhead squat, and the judge is like, "No rep, lower." And you know what? I was able to correct right there. And then I could, the second and the third and the fourth, I could feel the difference. If that's not being called during, you know, quarterfinals at my own place in the comfort of my area, oh boy, could that turn into a nasty score. And that's exactly what I do not want to have happen.
You don't want to have that. And I know multiple people in historical years that have not made it to not made it to semifinals or to the games because unfortunately they had a judge that didn't call them on a rep, and then they did bad reps and they got no credit on those reps and it was too late to redo it.
Right.
So that's a lot of pressure.
That's a long way of saying this, but you know, you're very open with sharing. You know, I've performed at various live competitions. I'm not afraid of the movement and my movement quality, but I also don't share nearly anything on social media like you do. Our last podcast where you were showing my 24.3, it was a little unnerving at a point to know that people were looking at that I don't know
and watching you die.
I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, your stuff's out there. There are other athletes like yourself, many others that we can name that share a lot and they have good quality movement. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you're not used to doing it, I'm like, again, I have nothing to hide. Haven't been called on penalties, knock on wood. I submit all my videos, but still, that's nerve-wracking.
I don't know if I told you this. I don't know if you knew this, but we got more positive comments on that video on YouTube.
Oh God, because
than
I died.
Any of our other, no, they just loved it. They loved seeing you work out because it was, did better on that workout than you thought because once we saw all the scores come in, you did fine. It was just too early to know that you were.
Oh, I thought I blew it.
That you were above average. I know you felt very average, but you did great. But actually, to have everyone wants to see, there's almost an exhaustion that can happen when people see me over and over and over again do something like that. They almost expect they know what Grubb is going to look like. But what does Rick look like behind the scenes? And that's really refreshing. So.
Bent over, grabbing my knees, trying to suck wind in. That's
I'll tell you what, you know, in 2 weeks, so quarterfinals will be next week. We'll record this podcast on the Wednesday that they're released so we can jam and talk about all of the workouts. And then the following week, we will actually go through all of your events live on YouTube.
Oh my God. Let's see how they turn out first, please.
But maybe.
Yeah. Maybe we actually pick
one of each or something like
one
that.
Of each
we could
of
do
ours.
Something fun.
We'll play around with that.
Pretty fun. Anyway, let's the other piece of news, and you know, I'm taking the news heading because there hasn't really been a ton of news, and that's normally your job. But you know what? You were out of the country, so I'm just trying to keep you up to date, Rick.
Please
but
do.
there was a team quarterfinal. As you know, that was released last week, and we got to see what the team workouts looked like. And I know when we were talking about this before the show started, your initial feedback was, "Wow, they're so simple." They're so simple.
They were no workouts are easy, But yes. the patterns or the designs, it was just very, I think, very straightforward, very, very
yep.
simple in terms of
very vanilla.
Is yeah. Very fair? Vanilla. Yeah. Very vanilla. Yep. Now you look, I've watched a number of pieces of other videos of some of the higher teams that have posted things. Oh my, they're destroyed. Watching yeah. Con Porter and, our name's escaping me down in Australia, watching them fail muscle ups gives you right. an idea that high level caliber of athlete doesn't usually fail a muscle up.
They're vanilla. And I think that's one of the things I liked about them.
Carl Webb.
I don't know if like
Cara
the
Saunders.
Simplicity. Cara Saunders. Oh my
could
gosh.
Not, yeah. I'm so sorry. I apologize. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But to see them have these simple couplets, I mean, there's some shippers, different mm-hmm. kinds in there, but really simple workouts. And one thing that we know about the Open was that there were very simple workouts in the Open. I mean, we had a couplet, a triplet, and a couplet in the Open. A lot of couplets in quarterfinals, and they were so simple, yet absolutely devastating, and also totally doable in a CrossFit gym. And that's, mm-hmm. again, a really minimal burden, I think, on a gym. And I think that's what we'll probably see if we want to take cues from that. I think that's what we'll see in our quarterfinals, is that it's not going to be a huge burden on the gym owner. I can't imagine that we would be doing any 25-foot lengths of anything. Mm-hmm. It seems like there weren't even floor plans or floor layouts for the team qualifier.
Right.
There wasn't floor plans or layouts for the Open, which we've seen in the past. So it tells me that we're probably going to stick with this theme, at least through quarterfinals, of ultra right. simple workouts that on paper, you know, toes to bar and dumbbell snatches feels repetitive, but it's actually pretty devastating. Or mm-hmm. deadlifts and shoulder to overhead. You know, they're simple yet devastating in their potency, right? The density of those workouts.
And to follow up on that, the quarterfinals for teams had no 25-foot type of
correct.
Of movements. And I think those first two stages, the Open and quarterfinals, are their largest participatory stages yes. in terms of pushing numbers through. And we've heard ad nauseum about the affiliates and from the affiliates about how difficult it is to lay floor plans out. So the situation yep. was rectified, but now their complaint or not their voice was, you have a larger number of quarterfinal athletes going through. How are we going to navigate through regular class and that? So they have yep. to still be respectful of that. When you get to age groups and teenagers, at the semifinal stage, still remote, then I think you can do a little bit more because you're working with
agreed.
such a smaller yep. field. And then the elites yes. go to in-person semifinals, and you can do whatever you want there.
Completely agree. And I think that this year we have a brand new larger field of 25% of individuals and age group athletes all getting the same workouts. At the same time. And so we'll be doing the same workouts as 20-year-olds. Again, mm-hmm. that's new. Huge pool of people doing quarterfinals that have never done quarterfinals before. So I think CrossFit as a fitness test and as a business, if I was them, I'd be trying to build workouts that are doable and as broad and as inclusive as possible, right?
Right.
That's what they do in the Open. And the quarterfinals is almost this extension of the Open with probably mm-hmm. a little more complexity,
right.
a little heavier, but still not quite semifinals. Like, I don't think we're climbing a rope in quarterfinals like we did last year, right? I think we'll, I mean, maybe, who knows, but it really feels like we'll stick to things that can be doable by most people so that when people sign up for quarterfinals, I mean, imagine how many people are waiting to see what the workouts are before they put $50 on the table.
Absolutely.
So if I'm CrossFit, yeah. I want to release workouts that someone that's on the fence says, hey, those look like I could do those. Here's my $50.
Yeah.
And yes, of course they're devastating. Of course, as a fitness test, we're going to be just drenched and flat on the floor when we're done. But, you know, people can do toes to bar, people can do dumbbell snatches. Ring muscle-ups is a stretch, but maybe there's a way to get to those ring muscle-ups and workouts, right?
It was not your buy-in as 30 ring muscle-ups, and then you start your workout, because then people would turn around and say, I'm not doing that. Well, it was was quarterfinals for individuals last year that had the 275-pound ground overhead, maybe?
I'm forgetting.
Okay, all right. Yeah, and that floored a lot of folks. They did a bunch of box jumps and then stood at the bar. I don't blame them. I would have done the same. You guys can all do that, but I it would have stopped me dead in my tracks. But if they don't do that with, they can put the weight on for the individuals. They're not going to put that kind of weight for the age groups, but it'll be challenging as it should, but it shouldn't stop any of us in our tracks completely. Let's put it that way.
Any predictions, Rick? You know, there's, four events or four events. Do you think there will be five scores?
I sure hope so. Absolutely. I'm counting on that. I don't believe there were for teams, right?
No, there was not any heavy lifts or max lift. Gosh. Four scores.
Please give us five scores. Four events, five scores. The rower will be involved. Boy, that's low hanging fruit. A higher skill. So like, teams receive ring muscle ups. We saw bar muscle ups in the open. Maybe we do get rings or, I did chest to bar wall balls. We'll get wall balls.
Yeah. Wall balls would be great. Yep.
The rope. Did they have ropes?
They did not
remember here. They did not. No, no rope.
No rope.
So
planks.
Jump ropes, double unders.
I don't think so.
I don't think they did. I'm just looking for them right now. No, they did not. So maybe we get a rope. I'm not saying single crossovers or anything like that, but maybe we just get, double unders being another way to test maybe some type of monostructural work, because rower in place of the 100 shuttle runs last year, quarterfinals. Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of, given that we've been through the open and have seen the team quarterfinals, and there has not been a shuttle run yet,
They're saving it.
Gosh, saving it.
They're
for
saving
when?
It for until semifinals.
Listen, I, it's fine. I'm much more ready for shuttle runs this year than I was last year, and as opposed to you, I know that if they do a fifth score, right? If there is one event that has two scores, if one of the scores is probably a max lift. And I am both excited and nervous about max lifts always. You know, anytime we're pushed to where we do something at max load, our risk of injury goes through the roof. So it always makes me a little nervous. And I'll tell you, last year, during quarterfinals, there was that two-part workout where we did the AMRAP with wall-facing handstand pushups, GHD sit-ups, and tall box jumps.
Right.
And that was a 9 or 12-minute AMRAP. And then we did a max clean after that. You know, I hit a big lift. I actually PR'd my clean and then added 5 more pounds to do an even heavier clean. And it was on that heaviest clean that I hurt something in my inner thigh. One of my adductor muscles was hurt and almost put me in jeopardy for the rest of the weekend. So I'll tell you what, those max lifts, I love them and I hate them and I love them all at the same time. I was so excited to hit the lift I hit. At the same time, I felt a pop and I was really nervous about it. So I'm in between. I could do away with that extra one. We'll save that for semifinals.
But you can think about this now. You can do five scores, four events, and you can have a score inside, like a time check inside, and that can be.
True.
I'm just thinking like when they rode the marathon, they had two scores in that in the games. They had a 2K it was the half marathon, excuse me. Maybe it was a half, whatever it was. They had a 2K time that counted as a score, and then they had the final
interesting
time. So you could have something like that where it doesn't involve a max lift or a complex or something heavy, but still get another score. But are we going to see that quarterfinals? The more you talk about it, the more you're talking me out of. They're going to stay simple.
Any
and that
creativity.
Means floor simple. Plans. That means movements. And that means if we say there's going to be four scores, you get four events, you're going to get four scores.
Maybe. We'll soon find out. Know.
Yeah.
So, Rick, as you start to think about quarterfinals next week, you're the kind of guy that has checklists and you're well prepared. What are some things that you make sure you've got ready? What do you need to make sure you get ready in the next week to hit the ground running next Wednesday or Thursday, whenever you do the first workout?
My biggest thing, and I already started to look, is coming back from vacation with the phone. Took a lot of pictures, threw videos on for plane rides and things like that. I've got to do some phone maintenance. That's first and foremost. Because as far as equipment, I trust my rope. I'll tighten the screws on the rope, and I do have a backup. I'll pull it out if needed. I'll have it next to me, but I'm not familiar with it anymore. So I really hope I don't need it, but in a pinch, I'll have that. Tighten those up, make sure all the equipment's checked off before I head out the door. You and I talked about this ahead of time. How about we read the rules, read the workout description? Don't rush through it.
Yes.
You don't have to have all four of them done by Wednesday at 8 o'clock at night. I mean, relax. You've got a long time. Yep. Read it twice.
And with that, yes. How many people, I know one person last year that didn't make it through quarterfinals because they didn't put the tape line for the wall facing handstand pushups up correctly. It was 10 inches from the inside of the tape or the outside of the tape, whichever it was, it has to be dead clear. Read those thoroughly. Take your highlighter, highlight them, listen to our podcast. What we'll try to do certainly next Wednesday is go over any of those things that we're like, oh, hey, if you're, we'll make sure we try to cover those little details that you may miss. Make sure you hit the standards. The standards are very clear.
Right. I'm saying this, not everybody's in this situation, but if you're doing quarterfinals with more than just yourself, more than just by yourself, don't be afraid to ask, the athlete, your buddy, male or female, right next to you, like, hey, does this make sense? Read this. You've read it. I've read it. Have we reached the same conclusion? Why are we going to do this next to each other? And your setup looks way different than mine. What's missing here? If you're by yourself in a garage, then you're going to have to rely upon your gut and your instincts and your thoroughness. Yep. But ask somebody else. Just make sure you're on the same page. If five of you agree on it, chances are it's not going to be wrong. You've read it properly. So don't be afraid to share a little information before you hit 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah. Yep. And I'll second the fact that you want to make sure that phone is cleared off. Make sure you've got plenty of space on your phone. Make sure it's charged the day of. You have plenty of battery. Even now it's time to get on Amazon. If you don't have a tripod, if you don't have something to set your phone on, get a cheap tripod. A metal one or I've had a tripod for years. I've used the same one forever, but it's reliable. I'm the type of guy that has two cameras. So I actually have a setup where I have my iPhone plus a GoPro going at the same time from the same vantage point. And it's just redundancy. The other thing I do is as soon as the workout is done, if I've got the time right then and there, I transfer the video from my phone to my laptop. So I'll just do an AirDrop over to my Mac. And now I have it in two places. Okay. So if my phone gets dropped, if I lose my phone, something happens. I know, God forbid, but still, if I have it backed up in two places, I feel much safer. And honestly, the way I do it, I back it up to my computer. And as soon as it's on my computer, I start uploading it to YouTube. And within an hour of a workout, it's in the cloud. It's on my computer. It's on my phone. I'm not even thinking about it. And I do that with both my primary camera and my backup camera. And that the one thing that's nice about having two cameras, guys, is you have two slightly different angles. So for some reason, the iPhone doesn't see your feet clearly on thrusters for whatever reason, right? You've got that GoPro.
Or the top of your elbow on a thruster.
Yeah. Or whatever. Something just happens, right? It has happened. It can happen. Another thing that you can do if you don't have a GoPro, like grab someone else's phone. You got two phones recording at the same time. Really simple.
GoPro has been dead for a number of years, but what I've done a lot. Well, yes, I pulled that out, but also sometimes I'll go with two or three people at the same time, and we all have our cameras in relatively the same spot. So I'm their backup. They're my backup. I might not speak into their phone, but if push came to shove, I could produce their video and say,
yes,
this is me. I haven't had to do it, but there's always backup there.
Are you the type of guy that has a clock in the frame of the camera, or do you use
it all depends.
A WOD timer or an app?
I use the app. So then I just know that the timer's there and it goes. Yep. If depending on the workout, we don't move our clock around. It's just fixed on a wall. So sometimes it'll be in the background. Sometimes it won't. I just like having it in the app because the start is there. The finish is there. Yeah. When you drop from a rope and that's your final rep, you can exactly see when the time stops.
Yes. I've never used the app. I was in a virtual competition where I did use the app one time, but how do you sync up the app with the clock on so that you know where you're at in the workout? Is there a way that you sync that up, or how do you do that?
Well, carefully. The app gives me 15. It's always a choice, you know. The app gives me. Yes. I've put mine on 15 seconds because that's maximum amount of time to, you know, make sure everything's set squared away.
Yep.
And usually I have somebody with a remote and at my phone at the same time. And when they start my phone, when that's at 10 seconds, the wall clock, but my book of record is my phone with the app.
Yes.
So I have,
so they'll stand behind your phone and tell you 3, 2, 1.
If people are watching too, you have 30 seconds left or you have 15 seconds left. There's usually somebody yelling. Because the noise is so much, the music's going, you don't hear the little beep from your phone.
Right.
It's much softer than the one on the wall. The one on
the
wall.
And the one on the wall can be a reference.
It's a reference. Kind of a, 10 seconds left. I know I'm just going to go until somebody says you're done or stop. And
exactly.
All I care about is the book of record, which is my phone and the app. That's the timer that counts. Again, we used to be able to move our clock around, but I know, and there's a couple clocks in our gym, but they've broken and dropped, and our owner doesn't like moving them around. I can't blame them. They're expensive to replace.
I have one in my garage that I'll take to the gym in case, because when it's on a wall, you can't
the angle's face
that direction with the camera. Yeah.
Or so
I have
far
one
away.
That I move around. It can be so far away. So I'm double redundancy if I can do it in the app and on a clock, but my clock, the plug comes out really easily. So I'll even be the guy that I'll put tape around that and I'll put tape around the plug and the extension cord. And then if I think someone might trip over the extension cord, I'll put plyo boxes around the outlet on the wall to defend every,
I'm crazy. Next level.
Well, bro, but
why do something over?
I was watching Mayhem, or it came across my feed that their team was doing one of the workouts and one of the cameramen, guy tripped over the cord, stops the clock. They have to stop the workout.
Oh.
And that is a nightmare. Again, it's quarterfinals. You could always redo the workout if you had to. But if you're deep into a total bar snatch workout, it's tough to do that again. Now, with that said, Rick, we have we have four events, potentially five scores, hopefully, potentially. We get it Wednesday. We have till Monday. Two of the scores have to be submitted by Saturday night. The last two scores by Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I could do them all on Wednesday and be done with it if I wanted to.
And
right?
there will be people that will try to do it in the first couple of days because of travel, work, family obligations, vacation. Okay. You know, hey, that is what it is.
So with that, there's potential that you could devise a plan to retest some of the workouts if necessary. You could build a schedule depending on when the workouts get released and what they look like. You could say, okay, I'm going to do this one on Wednesday. I'm going to do another one Thursday, but take Friday off. And I'm going to leave Saturday for a potential repeat. Then Saturday afternoon, I'm going to do one of the next. You could get really creative with your schedule if you have just limitless time and these workouts. Or it could be, you know, two a day and you're done and back to training. It's interesting when you have so much time and so much decision. There's almost an anxiety in that.
Right. Many more opportunities for redos than last year. The window was shorter. Did we have more scores? I can't even remember. The last couple of years, I thought we're busier. I don't know.
Remember. I feel like we had five scores last year, but I don't remember.
It felt very compressed, and redoing was out of my mind. Maybe some people did.
No way.
Something would have had to gone really wrong, and in that case, you have no choice to redo. This year, I know they gave us that extra window or that extra time because they heard feedback. And so they were, good about listening to community feedback.
Yeah.
Trouble is what that does is redo time.
In historical qualifiers, have you ever gotten all the workouts and thought that you had picked out the best order to do them in and then realized after the fact that you should have done them in a different order?
Oh yeah. I can't remember specific instances, but absolutely. I've messed it. But part of the learning process, right?
Yes. It is. Do you remember the time when we had a 4 rep max front squat? Was that 2021?
That was 2021. Okay. Yes.
So unless you're a numbskull, you're just going to do that first when you're absolutely freshest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't. I'm like, no. I did.
It's only four reps.
It's only four reps. I did the rowing double under shoulder push press. I think it wasn't it rowing and double unders and shoulder to overhead, or rowing and handstand pushups and
rowing
shoulder
handstand
to overhead
pushups and double and shoulder to overhead. Correct. Because the double unders dumbbell came with the cleans that year.
Correct. That's right. Yeah. So rowing, handstand pushups, double dumbbell, shoulder to overhead. So what I did that first, thinking like, well, that'll be fine. I'll recover in that afternoon. I'll do the 4 rep max front squat. But what I actually did was I destroyed my shoulders earlier in the day. I really fatigued my core, and then attempted 4 rep max front squat later that afternoon. And it was, I've made mistakes multiple times in qualifiers, but that was one of them where, because it was a 4 rep max front squat, it's so demanding on the system that I think the next day I ended up doing the pistol GHD rope climb test, which
that
was also
long,
very challenging.
That was long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I tried to retest the 4 rep front squat the next day, and I didn't have it. I did not have it in me because I accumulated fatigue and all of that.
GHDs so, didn't help.
Yeah. If when it comes down to strategy and when those workouts are released, that's another reason to just talk strategy with a friend. Sometimes talking out loud, you realize like, oh, hey, I actually should do the front squats first. Rick, what was I thinking? Back then, we weren't talking on a daily basis about this stuff. Now, as soon as they're released on Wednesday, we're going to be talking immediately.
So
have a friend, talk through that, avoid mistakes.
I did like the last couple of years of semifinals, though, where it was a very defined schedule.
Yes.
And you just didn't have time to because it felt more like a live competition. And I think that is maybe it suits me better. I don't know. I like that feeling because there's no room for redo. Yeah. You don't get a chance to redo on a competition floor in live competition.
Yep.
So the tighter the time windows were, you just had to put your best foot forward. You had to do it and upload the video, submit it, and move on to the second one because you only had 12 more hours and the next one was due. I'm like, okay.
They released all the videos for those that didn't do it last year. They released all of the workouts, but you were only allowed to do the first two in this window, and you had to say a password.
Right, which they only gave to you at the beginning of the window.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And then once the next window started, you had the new password. So it made it a lot less. You had a lot less decision fatigue. These are the two I got to do. Which one do I want to do first?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess what it was.
It was really clear. Yeah. Yep. It was a no brainer. Yeah, of course I'm doing this before that because I'm not crazy. I'm not going to do 100 shuttle runs and then whatever it was. That was fun. So we'll see if there's anything we're missing or what we're going to learn next week. Maybe they do the password system. Probably not. Looks like we get 4 events and we have the weekend to do them. We just have to have 2 of them done by one time, 2 of them done by the other. But maybe they'll throw in some surprises for us. That could be great. Surprises are fun.
This is the only time of year where you can get those kind of surprises. Let's hope they do.
Did we cover everything to prep? Oh, yeah. One of the things that you mentioned. So obviously we're talking about redundancy in cameras, redundancy in your jump rope. I'm a big fan of having redundancy with your grips. Mm-hmm. So if we have something that's grip intensive, tons of toes to bar muscle-ups, ring muscle-ups, have that second pair of grips there and ready.
Right.
In case that buckle snaps or the leather tears or something. Like, I've had that happen in training. God forbid it hasn't happened in competition, but I like to have those things there and ready. You know, we're going to hydrate. We're going to eat and fuel as if it's a training day, you know, keeping it really simple.
You've preached that consistent for a long time. Don't introduce anything new to your body during quarterfinals weekend that you maybe haven't digested or felt good eating. It's just not the time to take the risk, you know?
Nope.
Tuesday night.
It's not the time to try that.
Tuesday night's Taco Bell run. I'm kidding. It's not. And Tuesday night after is fine, but not Friday night, please.
Yeah, go Taco Tuesday, the Tuesday after the event, correct, have a little celebration, but then buckle up because in 2 weeks you got semifinals. There's not a lot of time for deloading and celebration and recovery. It's time to get ready for semis and then we could take that week off. But yeah, be simple. Don't introduce, you know, some sort of, you know, 300 milligram caffeinated pre-workout before you do an event at 5 at night or something. It'd be too crazy. Now, no. Are you adjusting your work schedule at all, Rick? Yes. Or are you working full-time through this?
No, it's to be determined. Yes, I'm adjusting. I don't know how many mornings I'm going to get a chance to take off. So I'm telling you this for the first time. So I might be doing more afternoon. That would be Thursday, Friday. And then Saturday, Sunday, we'll figure it out. And then I don't know what's left for Monday. I'm not sure.
Maybe you'll be done.
I might be done. I hope I'm done.
I hope I'm done too.
Taking like to Mondays train off on Monday. Tough. So that's just me and my job. So I've got to find time because I'm not going to do them at 6 a.m. I'll tell you that much on Thursday or Friday. I'm not doing that. No. So
I would not do that ever. I don't care if I've got a flight. I'm just out. I can't work out at 6 a.m. So you know me.
My training this morning doesn't, I think I wasn't fully awake for that first legless rope climb today.
Legless rope climbs at 6 a.m. just sounds dangerous. It sounds dangerous.
I held on for dear life. Let's put it that way. I don't need that.
Well, Rick, it was great to see you again and get this done. I'm super excited for quarterfinals. I know you are too.
Yep.
We will be ready again next week. We'll record on Wednesday.
Right.
We'll publish it Wednesday night. And so when you wake up Thursday morning, there'll be a live or a fresh recording for you guys. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. And Rick, I'll see you next week.
Looking forward to it. Have a good week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Masters in Motion podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast app. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow our Masters community. Until next time. Get bolder, not older.